Good morning, everyone. Before we read Esther chapter 2, wanted to give a quick recap from the previous chapter. So King Ahasuerus had banished his wife, Queen Vashti, from the throne since she had refused to be brought out to show off her beauty at one of his extravagant feasts. He made a decree against her and across the entire Persian Empire that men would be the head of every household and made an example out of her banishment. So at this point, he is left with no queen. So with that, let's read chapter 2. After these things, when the anger of King Ahasuerus had abated, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's young men who attended him said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought out for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom to gather all the beautiful young virgins to the harem in Susa, the citadel, under custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women. Let their cosmetics be given them, and let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti." This pleased the king, and he did so. Now there was a Jew in Susa the citadel whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjaminite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem among the captives carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away. He was bringing up Hadassah, that is, Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So when the king's order and his edict were proclaimed, and when many young women were gathered in Susa the citadel in custody of Haggai, Esther also was taken into the king's palace and put in custody of Haggai, who had charge of the woman. And the young woman pleased him and won his favor, and he quickly provided her with her cosmetics and her portion of food, and with 7 chosen young women from the king's palace, and advanced her and her young women to the best place in the harem. Esther had not made known her people or kindred, for Mordecai had commanded her not to make it known. And every day Mordecai walked in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and what was happening to her. Now when the turn came for each young woman to go into King Ahasuerus, after being 12 months under the regulations for the woman, since this was the regular period of their beautifying, 6 months with oil and myrrh and 6 months of spices and ointments for women. When the young woman went in to the king in this way, she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening she would go in, and in the morning she would return to the second harem in custody of Shashgaz, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the concubines. She would not go in to the king again unless the king delighted in her and she was summoned by name. When the turn came for her, Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his own daughter, to go in to the king, she asked for nothing except for what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who had charge of the woman, advised. Now Esther was winning favor in the eyes of all who saw her, and when Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign, the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king gave a great feast for all his officials and servants. It was Esther's feast. He also granted a remission of taxes to the provinces and gave gifts with royal generosity. Now, when the virgins were gathered together the second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. Esther had not made known her kindred or her people, as Mordecai had commanded her, for Esther obeyed Mordecai just as when she was brought up by him. In those days, as Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigtan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the threshold, became angry and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And this came to the knowledge of Mordecai, and he told it to Queen Esther. And Esther told the king in the name of Mordecai. When the affair was investigated and found to be so, the men were both hanged on the gallows. And it was recorded in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. Amen. This chapter is so crazy to me. The king's method of getting his new queen is like a modern-day episode of The Bachelor. But of all the beautiful women, the one who was shown immense favor was Esther. In fact, it repeats it 3 times that she was shown favor. It says that she won grace and favor in his sight and that he loved her more than all the other women. She was immediately gifted a feast, gifts, and the royal crown. But what he doesn't know yet is that she is a Jewish woman. After her parents died, her uncle Mordecai took her in as his own and raised her. She's just an ordinary girl, yet she somehow became the queen. If you're familiar with the royal family in England, it was like when Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, married a normal American girl, Meghan Markle. It was a big deal because she was just an ordinary girl who all of a sudden became royalty. So it's kind of a big deal too that Esther, a Jewish woman living in Persia, is all of a sudden the king's new queen. Yet she was instructed by Mordecai to conceal her Jewish identity from the king, and she obeyed and had done as he had asked. We later see that Mordecai was just hanging around at the king's gate when he heard two of the king's eunuchs plotting to assassinate the king. So Mordecai tells Queen Esther, and then Queen Esther tells the king in Mordecai's name. And after an investigation, the claims turned to be true, and the two eunuchs were hung in punishment. I swear this book is like the original Korean drama. Now, if we just look at this book with plain eyes, it just seems like a crazy story with crazy coincidences. Esther happened to be at the right place at the right time to somehow be swept into this new lifestyle of living as a royal queen. And Mordecai happened to be in the right place at the right time to overhear this crazy assassination plot to save the king's life, right? Well, may I suggest that there is more than meets the eye. Yesterday, I shared how God's name is not mentioned even once in this book. Yet, when we read through it with spiritual eyes, we see that nothing is a coincidence and that God is actively working to bring about redemption to Israel, which we will continue to uncover throughout the series. And I think we've all experienced moments where we thought, oh wow, what a coincidence. Thank goodness that this happened. But nothing is a coincidence. Everything is by God's appointment. God is guiding every moment, orchestrating happenstances with his divine sovereignty and wisdom, all with a plan to bring his continued redemption. So here's a question to reflect on today. Has there been any moment in my life that I credited the blessing to come from coincidence or chance instead of from God? In other words, let's ask God to reveal his blessings to us and his works that perhaps we were unable to recognize or see in the moment. Here's another question. Is there anything going on in my life right now that seems void of God? Sometimes the circumstances around us seem like God just isn't there. But this passage reminds us that he is very much at work. Let's pray and ask God to give us faith and trust to know that he is indeed working and working for our good, just as it says in the book of Romans. God is always at work in us, through us, and around us, bringing his divine appointment and purpose. Let's pray and ask him to open up our spiritual eyes to see this today. God, I can't wait to read the rest of Esther with our church because this chapter is just the foretaste of your greater redemptive plan for your people. It may be easy to credit things to coincidences or by chance or luck, but it is clear that you are an active God working mysteriously behind the scenes to bring about your redemptive plan. Help us to be aware of this in our own personal lives. Help us to also be encouraged to know that even when we don't see you moving, we can have faith that you indeed are. In Jesus' name, amen.